Today on Real Life Radio.
From this end to this end of the sanctuary, what really makes us right on people is if we are walking in the will of God. And God's will is that there be ordained priorities given to us by God, and that is to be active believers in God's church.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You ever wondered what it would be like to sail around the world? To sail along the California coast or cruise the eastern seaboard down to the Florida Keys? And if a bit of history is what interests you, well, anchor along the war-torn beaches of Normandy in France or reflect upon the ancient shores of Israel and Egypt. Sounds pretty amazing, doesn't it? Well, our current featured resource is a masterfully written account of personal travels. It's called Now I See. That's spelled S-E-A. And it's Spiritual Life Lessons by award-winning author Jenny L. Coate.
These are stories and analogies and devotions regarding your walk with God from a sailor's perspective. Storms, rough water, wind, the elements, and the power of God to provide.
Now I See, Spiritual Life Lessons from the Sea. It's written by Jenny L. Coate, and it's available at our website for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. That's at jackhibbs.com/realradio, jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called 1 Corinthians with a message called God-Ordained Priorities, Part 2. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and he shares with us its heart and its mission. You see, God uses the uniqueness of every believer to build the strength and the effectiveness of His church in this world. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that if we are the church, then we're to be clear about our call, about our mission, and to grow in our understanding of our spiritual gifts. Now with his message called God-Ordained Priorities, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. That's not a building. It's you, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You want some encouragement this morning? Are you a Christian? Then you're in the church. Well, you know, Pastor, I'm visiting today, but I'm a member of the First Baptist. Throw it away. Well, where do I sign up for the membership here? You can't. That verse sticks. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a member of the Church of God, and there's no card-carrying members of that group. We're not interested in denominational divisions. We are interested in the unity of the body of Christ, which is accomplished by the Spirit of God. And what does He do once He has hold of you and I? He causes you and I to prosper in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. Your identity, your partnership with any ministry on earth, and to trust in it for your acceptance into heaven is bankrupt. It is to be a member of the body of Christ. And how does that happen? How are we members of the body of Christ around the world in Russia and Peru and Alaska and Canada? How does that happen? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is an awesome thing. So 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 6, we started there last time, and Paul said to the church at Corinth, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching? Those are the verbal gifts that are understood plainly spoken. Even things without life, he said, whether a flute or a harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction, hit the certain notes that you can identify the music in the sounds, how will it be known what is being piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. We talked about that last time. Verse 10 is where we left off. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world. He's talking about known earthly languages, and none of them is without distinction or significance. You, if you speak Chinese, you, when Chinese is spoken, you understand Chinese. Verse 11, therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, And he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue, notice, speaks in a tongue. That setting is public, in a special place. Pray that he may interpret. For if I pray, not speak, pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding, that is my mind, is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm praying when I pray in a tongue. Something very different than speaking in a tongue. What is the conclusion then? That I will pray with the spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit and I will also sing with understanding. Otherwise, if I bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? Verse 17, for you indeed give thanks well, but the other, that is the other person, is not edified. I thank my God, Paul says in verse 18, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding, or in Paul's case, Hebrew or Greek, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes, but in understanding, be mature. And we'll say verses 21 to 25 if we get to them today. This is what we looked at last time in part one. God ordained priorities as a church. This is an amazing challenge that began in chapter 12, chapter 13, and now the practical side, we are moving onward into chapter 14. He is saying, okay, church, this is what you do. This is how you live. This is how the church functions, because it is alive. It is breathing and it is operational regarding the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is no other gift that has more explanation given in the Bible than the gift of tongues. Why? Because of the abuses and the confusion. And all God's people said, amen. You guys over here were the conservatives, remember? Do you remember? You guys were the right on ones. And you guys were the what? What were you? We were the Pentecostal ones. Clearly you're not. You guys are all pumped up, all about the gifts, especially tongues. And if these people don't speak in tongues, they're all going to hell. You guys are so excited about the gifts and the numbers of the gifts that you even added some numbers to those gifts. And if you can do it, it's a gift. And that's all wrong too. And you say over here, yeah, you tell them, Pastor, you really let them have it. Because you know what? And listen, you guys limit. You go to the Bible and you take out certain things from the Bible and you say, those are the gifts I'm comfortable with. We'll stick with those. And you're just as wrong as those guys are. And you guys are really right on. And you better be careful, because you're right on, you could go to your head. Here's the deal. From this end of the sanctuary, what really makes us right on people is if we are walking in the will of God. And God's will is that there be ordained priorities given to us by God. And that is to be active believers in God's church. And so we're on a crusade here at this church right now. I just made that up. To root out and encourage any of you who are spectators, or to just say, can you free up a seat and just go find some other place to sleep? Because we want to be a church that's filled with active people, following the will of God, pursuing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, not taking our light and hiding it under a bushel, but letting it shine. And so in verses 6 through 9, we looked at this about our God-ordained priorities, is that we are clear. Paul's argument is that whatever we do in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are clearly understood. And we looked at these three things from verses 6 through 9. Clear about our call, that it's for all of us to serve in the body of Christ, no matter what. Second thing, clear about our mission, that we are to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to be some superstars in the kingdom of God. That is an abomination to God. The body of Christ, this church, by the way, should be recognized by its love for people, by its outreaching to the lost, by its care for one another as a church. One person's name should not stand out. And that's a scary thing. I'm always aware, I know the radio program's got my name on it. or if this church gets in trouble, or if there's some sort of publication, or it's somehow recognized that somewhere my name pops up. But that's scary, because I can't do anything unless God is doing it through you. Do you understand that? It's amazing. How are we reaching so many people every day of the week by the radio broadcast ministry that's going on around the world? It's not me, it's you. You say, Jack, but it's your mouth blabbing on the radio program. I understand that, but you understand that I cannot do that unless the body of Christ comes together and does its job together. And when the homeless is reached, or when the person at the hospital is reached, that comes through all of us working together. We need to remember that. And so look at it. Here we dive in. Are you ready? Here we go. Our second point is this, verses 10 to 20. Our God-ordained priorities is that we understand. Six times in a very short portion of Scripture, he's going to mention the words here to understand. Our God-ordained priorities, church, is this, that we understand these three ways. Number one, that we understand our work. Will you jot that down? That we understand our work. These gifts are not given to confuse us, but to make things clear. Now, having said that, listen, don't respond. Just check your own heart. Inside of you, is there a longing, a burning, a desire? Is there a haunting, gnawing question in your mind? I mean this all in a good way. I think there's more for me in my Christian walk. I think there's more. Have you ever had that?
Yes.
Don't you have it?
Yes.
God, I know there's something more. This is not the reason why I was born. This is not the only reason why being a Christian, as great as it is, this is not the only reason why I'm alive. Regarding my Christianity, regarding my life, there's got to be more. If you today are saying in your heart, Pastor Jack, that strikes true to a chord in my heart. I have that burning. It's down so deep. Some of you today are saying, I used to have that burning, but it went out. And just you speaking about it, Pastor, is causing my heart to burn again. Yes. That's exactly what God wants to do, is to stir you up. To get you, can I put it this way? Dreaming big dreams again. God, would you use me? Do you want to use me? Oh, listen, Christian, if you are a Christian, God says, I want to use you. None of his children said it out. And it is an awesome thing that God has called us to a work. And so he says that there are these tongues that are spoken in the world here right now. It is English and it's understood. We have a dialogue going on right here between heart and mind. Easily understood. But when someone speaks publicly in an unknown tongue, the Bible says that there needs to be an interpreter present. That is an interpreter. Notice it's not the word translator. Oh, I can translate Russian. Well, that's great. But that's not what Paul's talking about. It is not the gift of translator. It's the gift of interpretation. Isn't that interesting? I can't wait. Is it April 15th? Is it a Sunday, April 15th? When we're going to have a time right here in the main sanctuary where we're just going to be together and we're going to wait upon God and we're going to see what God wants to do that night. See, can we do that? Oh, we're going to do that. What's going to happen? Don't know. Is it going to be scary? Why would encountering God be scary? See, listen, you and some of you have been polluted by some of these. Because over the years, you've seen abuses and have negated the word of God completely in this area because there's kooks like these people. Nothing personal, it's just for illustration. Where they would say, man, I'm not gonna go to church. There's people running around barking, carrying on. Listen, that ain't gonna happen. So how do you know? Because it's not biblical. Okay, very, very important. And so God is desiring that you and I understand that he's got a work for us to do, but he didn't give us the tools. I mean, he didn't withhold the tools, he gave us the tools. It's an awesome thing. I'm gonna share this, I probably shouldn't for time's sake, but it's on my heart right now. You guys, and I can say this because Lisa's not here right now, she'll come to second service. Although it was my fault. My garage, you couldn't walk through my garage without endangering your life. You know what I'm saying? There was a trail through my garage and you had to go like this. Okay? And I've had since 1979, I have had a 1967 Volkswagen Bug. And I'm about ready to get it back from the shop that's getting all dolled up and fixed up because it had just been parked in my garage since 1992. And not driven once since then. So it needed to get all new life put back into it. And so it's coming home soon. So what did I do? I opened the garage door and I said, oy vey. And I began working on the garage and cleaning it up and getting it ready and straightening it out. And you know what's so funny? You guys, you are looking at a mechanical idiot right here, right now, okay? And so I've got about 3 screwdrivers. I have a crescent wrench. I think that's what it's called. I do have a rusty hammer. And it's very funny because I bought now some garage. I mean, you guys, it looks like a man garage. And yet, I know the truth. I know the truth. I don't know which end of the hammer to hold. But man, people have driven by my house now with somehow, I don't know how I left the garage door open. The floor has been painted, the walls, and people driving by and they're looking. And look, they're like, wow, look at that, transformation. You know what though? I don't know how to use a tool. Listen, it's not about the church showing off. It's what it can do. Okay, my garage is fit for somebody who knows how to use tools. It happens to be my garage, but I don't know how to use that garage. Listen, Jesus wants to take a church, this one, and radically make you a tool in his kingdom for work. An amazing work that God wants to use you in and use you with and through. And so what we want to do is say, Lord, I want to be the tool that you want to use for the building of your kingdom. And then he says, far out, excellent, awesome. I'm going to give you these gifts of the Holy Spirit that my spirit will use uniquely in your life, and I'm going to use you. Are you willing? Remember last time together, I asked you, are you willing? That's the whole thing. Yes, I'm willing. And watch out, the rest of your Christian life will be radical. It's amazing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Secondly, understand our source. The source is the Holy Spirit himself, but there's more to it than that. When I say source in verses 14 to 17, I'm talking about, watch this, mark it down, an attitude. The Holy Spirit, when he gets a hold of you, will change your attitude, and I mean specifically in the area of praying. Verse 14, for if I pray, mark it, highlight that, if I pray in a tongue, an unknown language, this is not one that is known, this is one that is spoken privately, alone, my spirit prays, circle the word spirit, lowercase s, this is the born again you. When you were born again, your spirit came alive. The Bible says, before we were born again, we were spiritually dead. The lowercase s indicates you, or in this case, Paul. He says, my spirit prays. That is the born again you. Isn't that amazing? The inside of you, the eternal you, born again, heading to heaven. But my understanding, my brain, my English mind is unfruitful. I don't get it. Verse 15, what's the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. Notice, my friends, I will pray with the Spirit. What does that mean, Christians? Every Christian should be praying. As we ended our last time together on this challenge, every Christian is to be praying alone in the Spirit like that. You say, Pastor, I never heard this before. Read your Bible. It's right here. Isn't that fantastic? It's right there. Get alone with God. Do you remember your homework? It's been 2 weeks. Do you remember your homework? What was your homework? That you were going to go get alone and pray like this. Did you do it? Fail. F, all of you, fail. It's so amazing. And so he says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing also with understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? If you're sitting in the church and somebody starts praying in a tongue or speaking in a tongue, with no interpretation in a public setting, which is different than prayer, but in a public setting, the apostle says, why would you do that? Why would you start shooting your mouth off with no interpretation taking place for the body of Christ. Nobody's going to be edified about that. This is not the place for that to happen. The Holy Spirit will not have that happen in a setting like this. There is a setting where he would have it in a public sense. And so the Holy Spirit within the Christian, specifically in this area of him being our source, note this, publicly, there is the speaking of tongues publicly that cannot take place unless there is the gift of interpretation in the same room present. This is amazing. So crystal clear. But Paul says, privately, when nobody else is around, there's no need for the gift of an interpreter or interpretation. Why? Paul says, when I pray, I don't know what I'm praying. I don't know the words. My spirit prays. And our last time together, I shared with you how powerful that form of connection in prayer is with God. It is power. And my dear friends, listen this morning. If you have never prayed like that in your life alone with God, I'll issue the challenge again. You've got to go get alone with him and pray like that. Trust me, I've said it before. It bears repeating. You will feel like an idiot, but nobody's around, so who cares? And then you're going to think, gosh, angels are going to think I'm dumb if they're watching this. Who cares? You will be praying, conversing with God. I cannot explain the results. But trust me when I tell you, I can pray an hour in my English tongue about an issue and still feel as though I've missed the target. Still feel as though the heavens are brass. And then spend 5 or 10 minutes praying alone in the Spirit and you can feel the burden lift. And I can't, apparently some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you don't, my dear Christian friend, you no longer need to carry the load. I won't look in his direction, but Russ is battling for his life right now. He's over there, so I'm looking over here. I don't want to embarrass him. He's battling for his life. And there's a time I would sense that when you come to the point where, how do I pray? When the doctor says one more thing that in normal sense would break your back. It's the news that broke the camel's back, we would say, I can't take it anymore. What do you do like that? You get on your knees or you stand up, you go take a walk. You can, this is awesome. You drive your car and you just pray to him like this. And I can't explain why and how it happens, but there is a direct current straight to the heart of God. And there's a connection that no one can take from you. I can't explain it. You just know that you know I've connected with God. Oh God, to you be the glory. Whatever the answer is, let it happen in my life. And you are freed. Is it your child? Is it your marriage? Don't come to me and tell me that your marriage is so messed up and you're giving up until you've prayed like that. There's nothing like it. And the church today is anemic because it's not going to God in spirit. My human understanding is biased when I pray in my normal thinking. I'm so biased. So are you. Don't look at me like that. So are you. When you pray, okay, God, here's the deal. What do you mean, here's the deal? God, I got this issue going on in my life, and here's what I want done. Excuse me? I'm biased when I pray with my understanding. I've got too much. Listen, let me give you a little trick also about getting prayed for. When you're sick, don't ask some adult person to pray for you. The children's ministry, those buildings over there, don't underestimate the size of those people. You know why they can pray amazing? First of all, they walk up. If you say, I'm sick, I need prayer. You know what they do? They go like this. Dear God, heal mommy, thank you, bye. They're not balled up. They're not messed up. They don't got all that stuff in their heart and head.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called God Ordained Priorities Part 2. Thanks for being with us. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.